This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu al-atamman al-akmalani ala khayri khalqillahi ajma'in. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man ihtada bihadih. Wastanna bi sunnatihi ila yawmiddin. Allahumma allimna ma yanfa'una. Wanfa'na bima allamtana. وزدنا علما وأرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه وجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه وبعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Last week we went through some of the major تشريعات legislations that were revealed in the period of the first 2 years after the Hijrah. So until here we have covered the main events that have taken place in this period of the Seerah. And all that's left to cover now before getting into the next major event, and that is the Battle of Badr. Before we get into that, we need to discuss some of the military expeditions that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam dispatched and sent out after establishing the military. And so we spoke about how one of the first projects that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam worked on when he migrated to Al-Madinah was to establish a military. Now, we previously mentioned how Quraysh would not leave the Muslims alone. They already tried everything that they could to prevent the Muslims from migrating, and they tried to even kill Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And now that the Muslims had left and established a new base, Quraysh saw this as a threat, because they knew that Islam being established in Arabia, even if not in Mecca, the fact that Islam was being established somewhere in Arabia, it means the end of the days of Jahiliyyah. It means an end to their way of life as they knew it, and the way and the customs and the practices of their forefathers. And so for this reason, although the Muslims had left Mecca, Quraysh was determined to fight on and stop the Muslims. After Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam received the green light from Allah to fight, and we spoke about that previously, he started to send out what you call saraya. And so in the books of Seerah, you have saraya and you have ghazawat. And so you have ghazwat Badr, ghazwat Uhud, and so on. And then there were saraya. Saraya is the plural of sariya. And in English we say a ghazwa is a battle or a war, and we say a sariya is a military expedition or a campaign. The difference between the two in terms of the seerah, in terms of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the difference between the two is that a sariya is when a military unit was sent out at the command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would send a military unit, but he himself would not go. he himself would not participate. And their numbers were usually few, because the purpose of this military expedition was to gather intelligence information about the enemy, or to intercept one of their trade caravans. On the other hand, a ghazwa is an army in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would participate. He would lead the army. And this is irrespective whether fighting ends up taking place or not. It is still called a ghazwa. And it doesn't matter if the numbers are few or many. So that's the difference between a ghazwa and a sariya. In total, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam led 27 ghazawat and sent out approximately 47 saraya in his lifetime. Now, what we're going to do today, we're going to go through some of the main ghazawat and saraya during this period of time from the hijrah until the battle of Badr. The first ghazwa in which the Prophet ﷺ participated in is known as Ghazwa al-Abwa. Ghazwa al-Abwa. And so the Prophet ﷺ went out with 200 men, but there was no fighting. This took place in the month of Safar of the second year after the Hijrah. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after that, he returns to Medina and he sends out a sariya. This sariya was led by Ubaidah ibn al-Harith. And there were 60 muhajirun who were on foot. They would walk at night and hide during the day until they reached their target. Their target was a caravan of Quraysh. And so when they reached, they found that they had 200 men. Quraysh had 200 men and were led by Abu Sufyan. Now during this encounter, arrows were exchanged, but no one was killed. The first one to shoot was Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu. And this is something that he would mention. And so Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, he says, "I'm the first one to strike an arrow fi sabilillah, in the way of Allah." Then there was a sariya led by Hamza ibn Abd al-Muttalib radiallahu an. It comprised of 30 muhajirun, but this time they were riding on camels and they went out to raid a caravan full of belongings of Quraysh. When they reached, they found Quraysh armed with 300 men and led by none other than Abu Jahl. Again, in this encounter, no fighting occurred, and that was because one of the tribesmen in the area had a peace agreement with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as well as with Quraysh. So he stepped in and he made sure that no fighting occurred. But this encounter was significant because after that, Abu Jahl returned to Mecca and he warned Quraysh. He said that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is after us. he described Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to Quraysh. He said that he is like an angry lion because we have driven them out of Mecca like insects driven off the back of a camel. So he told his people to be careful, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is out there waiting to lay his hands on them and their caravans. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam went out on a ghazwa, and that was called Ghazwa Buwat. He left with 200 men in Rabi' al-Awwal of the second year, and they had set out to intercept a trade caravan of Quraysh led by Umayyah ibn Khalaf. And so this trade caravan had 100 men and 2,500 camels. But when the Muslims arrived, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived, we said that this is a ghazwa. And what did we say? That the ghazawat, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would participate in them, as opposed to an expedition, a sariyah. So when the Muslims arrived, they found that Quraysh had already left. So basically, they did not see them. They could not find this caravan, and so they returned to Medina. Then in Jumada al-Ula of the same year, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam set out to pursue another caravan of Quraysh, which was on its way from Mecca to Asham, to Syria. And so this was called Ghazwa al-Ushayra. But again, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam could not find it, because by the time they reached the location, it was along the sea, Quraysh had already passed. They had already left. However, word had reached Mecca that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had come out to attack this caravan. And so as a result, Quraysh sent a battalion of soldiers to give protection to this caravan. So this caravan had left on its way to Asham. Now this was also important because this eventually went on later on to culminate in the Battle of Badr. And we're going to get into that next week. Then there was the Sariya of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu an, which comprised of only 8 men from the Muhajirun. But once again, he returned after finding no caravan of Quraysh. Then there was what was known as Ghazwat Badr al-Ula, the first Battle of Badr. And the reason for this ghazwa was that some Bedouin raiders, they came to Medina and they raided some grazing camels and sheep on the outskirts of Medina, and they stole some of them. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went out with some men to chase them down until he reached to an area close to Badr. Close to Badr. We're talking about approximately 150 kilometers west of Al-Madinah. But this is where the raiders managed to escape. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not able to catch any of them. So he ended up returning to Al-Madinah. All of these ghazawat, all of these battles, all of these saraya, all of these expeditions were within the first 2 years of the Hijrah before the Battle of Badr. Finally, one last sariyah that we can mention, and this is an important one. It's important because of the aftermath, as we're going to see. This was the sariyah of Abdullah ibn Jahsh, radiallahu anhu. This was a small group of 8 men, once again from the Muhajirun, who were sent out on a reconnaissance mission to basically spy on the enemy and bring back information to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abdullah ibn Jahsh radiallahu anhu, their leader, he was given a letter by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This letter was sealed, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Abdullah ibn Jahsh not to open it up until after 2 days. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him to go to such and such place, and then after 2 days, open the letter and read it. Abdullah ibn Jahsh, after 2 days, he opens up the letter, and it states that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is instructing him to go to this place that is between Mecca and At-Ta'if, a place known as Nakhla, between Mecca and At-Ta'if. And that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asking the members of this expedition to basically go to this place. So Abdullah ibn Jahsh, he turns to his men and he says, this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is instructing us with. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that it was an option. It was optional and voluntary for the members to follow him. And so this was a voluntary sariyah. The reason why it was voluntary is probably because of how risky this operation was. They had to go deep into enemy territory. Previously, they had been going out on these expeditions close to Al-Medina, in the surroundings of Al-Medina, not too far. The furthest that they would go is to the seaside, but it was within a reasonable distance from Al-Medina. But this time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sending them deep into enemy territory. They would have to go south all the way to Mecca and bypass Mecca, go south of Mecca to this area known as Nakhla, between Mecca and At-Ta'if. And so Abdullah ibn Jahsh radiallahu anhu, he told the members of this sariyah that he's going to go, and whoever wishes, they can follow him. So it was voluntary on all of them. Abdullah ibn Jahsh says to them, whoever wants a shahada, whoever wants martyrdom, and he desires it, then let him proceed. But whoever dislikes that, then let him go back. As for me, I'm going to proceed with the instructions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they told him that they were all willing to go with him, and so none of them stayed behind. None of them stayed behind. So now Abdullah ibn Jahsh radiallahu anhu and his men proceed to the place that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed them to go to. And so they reach this place in Nakhla, which is past Mecca. And it so happened that when they got there, they found a caravan of Quraysh, which was lightly guarded. There were only 4 men. The caravan was within striking distance, but now there was a dilemma. It so happened to be the very last day of the month of Rajab. And the month of Rajab is one of the 4 sacred months in which fighting was strictly prohibited. And so this was one of the customs of the Arabs. Obviously, who made these months sacred? It was Allah. But these are one of the practices that the Arabs and Quraysh had inherited from whatever was left of the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And so it was the last day of Rajab, which is one of the sacred months, and fighting is completely prohibited. But the Muslims, they agreed to follow the instructions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they took it seriously. But now the question was, why not just wait for another day? It's only the last day of Rajab. The next day, they can raid this caravan. The problem with that was that if they waited for one more day, this caravan would continue until they have entered the boundaries of Mecca, the sacred limits of Mecca. And whoever enters into the sacred limits and boundaries of Mecca, he's safe. And no fighting is permissible within these boundaries. And so either way, if the Muslims attacked, either way, they would be violating something which is sacred, something which is supposed to be honored, the sanctity of the time or the sanctity of the place. However, they decided to go ahead and attack in the month of Rajab, and so they shot the arrows and they killed the caravan's leader, Amr ibn al-Hadrami, and one of the 4 men managed to flee. And so you have 2 men remaining. They were taken by the Muslims as prisoners. And the whole caravan, all of their belongings, everything, ended up in the hands of the Muslims. And now they took all of this back with them to Al-Madinah. Now, this was breaking news. Everyone was talking about it. Quraysh made a big deal about it. They took this as an opportunity and milked it as far as they could. They went around saying that Muhammad and his people are violating the sacred months. They are shedding blood. They're taking prisoners of war. They're stealing our wealth in the sacred months. And so this news was being spread all over the Arab tribes. When these men came back to Al-Madinah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I did not tell you to fight during the sacred month. I didn't give you those instructions. The Muslims also joined in, and they started to scold these men. They said, who told you to attack at this time? And so the men of this Sariya, of this expedition, were in a very, very difficult situation. They were extremely worried. They were concerned. They were concerned about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would look at this and what they have done. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refused to take anything. He didn't want to take the prisoners. He didn't want to take any of the wealth that they had brought. And so you could imagine how these companions felt. They went out there on this difficult mission, deep into enemy territory. It was a risky operation. They risked their lives. And now everything that they did, it would not be accepted. And they were being criticized for doing what they did. Everyone was upset with them. Quraysh was taking advantage of it and spreading this propaganda that look at these Muslims. Look at the terrorists that they are. Until finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed ayat to address the situation. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah in verse 217, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الشَّهْرِ الْحَرَامِ قِتَالٍ فِيهِ. They ask you about fighting in the sacred months. Meaning, O Prophet, they ask you about this. قُلْ قِتَالٌ فِيهِ كَبِيرٌ. Say to them, O Muhammad, indeed, fighting in these months is a big sin. وَصَدٌّ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَكُفْرٌ بِهِ وَالْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ وَإِخْرَاجُ أَهْلِهِ مِنْهُ أَكْبَرُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. Allah says, however, hindering others from the path of Allah, disbelieving in Him, preventing access to Al-Masjid Al-Haram, and expelling its people therefrom is a greater sin in the sight of Allah. وَالْفِتْنَةُ أَكْبَرُ مِنَ الْقَتْلِ. And fitna, which refers to persecuting Muslims, forcing them to leave Islam, this is a huge fitna. Allah says, and al-fitna is greater than killing, is far worse than killing. وَلَا يَزَالُونَ يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ حَتَّى يَرُدُّوكُمْ عَنْ دِينِكُمْ إِنِ اسْتَطَاعُوا. Allah says, and they will not stop fighting you until they turn you away from your religion if they can. And so the kuffar, their whole objective behind fighting is to make us abandon and leave our deen. And so look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here. They ask you, O Muhammad, about fighting in these months. The people started asking. And so Allah said that what Abdullah ibn Jahsh and his men did was a great sin. Yes. قُلْ قِتَالٌ فِيهِ كَبِيرٌ. Say, O Muhammad, yes. Fighting and killing in these months, it's bad. It's a sin. But then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts things into perspective. He says that what the companions did was a sin, yes, but then Allah lists four other sins. Averting people away from the path of Allah. Quraysh were standing in the way of people becoming Muslim. They were doing this for the last 13 years, 14 years now. The second, kufr, disbelief in Allah. That too is a great sin, which Quraysh was committing. Number three, preventing access to Al-Masjid Al-Haram. And so the Muslims were not allowed to go to Mecca. They were driven out. And if somebody wants to go to Mecca for Umrah, for Hajj, he was not allowed. And number four, expelling its people from it, meaning expelling the Muslims from their homeland, from Mecca. And so the Muhajirun were driven out of Mecca by Quraysh. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here that these four sins are worse, far worse, than what Abdullah ibn Jahsh and his men did. And so this verse was clearing up the minds of the people, putting things into perspective, acknowledging the wrong that the Muslims did, but then asking the people to look at what Quraysh have been doing for the last 13-14 years. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not want the Muslims to make a big deal about what Abdullah ibn Jahsh did while forgetting about the sins of Quraysh. Even though what Abdullah ibn Jahsh did was wrong, what Quraysh had been doing for all these years outweighs the wrong that he did. And so Abdullah ibn Jahsh and his men were relieved that at least Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, Allah did say that what we did is wrong, but they were relieved that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the sins of Quraysh and how Allah gave clarity to this issue. Now, Abdullah and his followers were eager for some credit. So they went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, even though this verse mentions that what they did was a sin. Even though this verse mentions that what they did is a sin. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the next verse, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا وَجَاهَدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ يَرُجُونَ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Indeed, those who believe and immigrate and fight in the way of Allah, they can hope for the mercy of Allah. For indeed Allah is all forgiving and all merciful. And so look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions how these men can expect the mercy of Allah. Not only that, but they can be given the reward of those who are actually fighting fi sabilillah. So what they did, although it was a minor, it was a mistake on their part, but now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises them as being people of iman, being people of hijrah, and being people of jihad, and that they can expect the mercy of Allah. Now, it's noteworthy to mention here that this last sariya, the sariya of Abdullah ibn Jahsh, they were the first ones in the history of Islam to take prisoners of war. So they brought back these two prisoners to Al-Madinah. They were also the first to kill an enemy combatant. And so we mentioned they killed the head of that caravan. And they were the first to bring back home to Medina Ghanima, war booty. And so after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave clarity to the situation, we can see the honor that was given to Abdullah ibn Jahsh and his men. And so these are the main battles and expeditions that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had sent from after the Hijrah until until the Battle of Badr. We notice all of these battles and expeditions took place in the second year. So in the first year, the Muslims were trying to settle in Al-Madinah, and we spoke about the events that took place, the projects that the Prophet ﷺ embarked upon, and some of the main legislations that were revealed. And now in the second year, this is where the Prophet ﷺ started to send out expeditions and participate in battles himself. As we said, even if fighting did not occur, even if in some cases, in some of these examples, fighting did not occur, but still, the Muslims were fully prepared militarily to take on their enemy. And so we move on to the lessons that we learn from the sending of these expeditions. The first is the objective, the purpose behind sending out these saraya, these expeditions. It's important here to clarify the objective. And that's because some of the critics of Islam, they use these examples to say that the Muslims were raiders. And they were just, you know, unlawfully, unjustly attacking innocent people and caravans. And so we need to put things into perspective. We say, first of all, these saraya, the Prophet ﷺ would send them out to establish a military presence in Arabia. And so the Prophet ﷺ sent these expeditions in all directions to let the people know that the Muslims have forces and that they are capable of using it. And so in the old tribal system of Arabia, if one tribe is weaker than another, the stronger one would take advantage of that. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would send out these expeditions as a deterrent for others. For the Bedouins surrounding Medina, who still had some respect for Quraysh. They used to look up to Quraysh. And so Quraysh was the most honored tribe in all of Arabia. They were custodians of the Kaaba. And so they were looked at with high regard among all the Arabs. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam wanted to break that. He tried to tell the people that now there is a rival power, and that is the Muslims. Also, among the objectives of sending out these expeditions was to establish alliances with some of the surrounding tribes around Al-Madinah. So here the Prophet ﷺ, by sending these military expeditions, he was winning over tribes and establishing alliances. And this was important because the Bedouin tribes surrounding Al-Madinah posed a threat to the Prophet ﷺ and to the Muslims, because many of them had alliances with Quraysh. And so the Prophet ﷺ would send out these expeditions, and in the process, he would end up forging alliances. So when fighting would not occur, they would make an agreement, a kind of peace agreement, a peace treaty with these tribes, so that these tribes can ally with the Muslims in the upcoming battles. Or at least, if they're not gonna ally with the Muslims, at least they're not gonna pose a threat by joining Quraysh. So This was extremely important. And the way it was done was by sending these expeditions. Also, for economic reasons. And so these expeditions were sent, as we have seen, in many cases, they were sent to raid the caravans of Quraysh. To raid the caravans of Quraysh. Now, in Islamic law, if the Muslim state is in a state of war with the enemy, that makes the lives and the wealth and the property of the enemy halal for them. It makes them legitimate targets. And so, if the Prophet ﷺ was attacking these caravans, it was legitimate. And so the Prophet ﷺ was attacking the economical network of Quraysh. And this was a serious threat to Quraysh. Because Quraysh used to send their caravans, as we know, to the north and to the south. And this would bring their business to Mecca. This was their economy. Not only that, but we also have to remember that Quraysh had seized the wealth of many of the Muslims, of the Muhajirun, when they left Mecca. And so if the Prophet ﷺ was now giving instructions to attack their caravans, it makes sense. They're basically taking back what was taken from them. And that's why we notice something very interesting here with these expeditions. In each and every single one of them, whether it was a ghazwa or a sariya, who is it who participated from the Muslims? They were only the Muhajirun, without any of the Ansar. It was only the Muhajirun who the Prophet ﷺ would send out. And there are many wisdoms behind that. Among the wisdoms is that the Prophet ﷺ is allowing these Muhajirun to feel that now we can take revenge. That burning passion for revenge, now they could take it. Also, among the wisdoms is that it is the Muhajirun who their wealth has been taken away from them. And so it should be them who go and take it back. As for the Ansar, the reason why they stayed behind is that they gave a pledge to the Prophet ﷺ to defend him. And defending means in Medina. So if the enemy comes to Medina, they'll defend. But now going out, this was not their duty. And so that's why the Ansar did not participate in any battles, in any skirmishes, until the Battle of Badr. Until the Battle of Badr. Finally, among the objectives of sending out these expeditions is that it offered military training for the Muslims. And so these expeditions were an excellent opportunity for the Sahaba to experience and to learn. They would learn methods of reconnaissance and gathering intelligence from the enemy and ambushing and other military tactics. They would get to learn about the area around them and the tribes around them. And so they were benefiting greatly from these expeditions. Overall, they were quite successful. And so during during the wars that carried on between Quraysh and the Muslims, it's noticeable that Quraysh would not use this tactic of sending out expeditions. This was pretty much something that the Muslims became known for. And so all in all, it was successful. The Muslims were not defeated in any of these minor battles or expeditions. And they sent out a message that the Muslims are a power here present. And also, it struck fear into the hearts of the enemy, Quraysh. The second lesson that we learn from these expeditions, and specifically the last expedition that we spoke about, the Sariya of Abdullah ibn Jahsh radiallahu anhu, we see the willingness of the companions to fight and to sacrifice their lives for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We see this when Abdullah ibn Jahsh, he told his men that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving me instructions to go to this place deep within enemy territory. It's a risky operation, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made it an option for you. You don't have to go. And so he told them that if you seek martyrdom, if you want shahada fi sabilillah, then proceed with me. But if you don't want it, then go back. And so they told him that they were all willing to go, and so none of them stayed behind. And so this shows us the strength of their iman and how willing they were to sacrifice their lives fi sabilillah. It also differentiates between those who fight for the sake of the dunya, out of greed, for power, for worldly reasons, versus someone who fights for the sake of Allah. And so here, they had to travel a great distance, and they had no idea what would await them. But it was their iman that was driving them. And so they were doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third lesson that we learn is the double standards of the enemies of Islam. And so they will pick on a Muslim's action, a Muslim who may do something which is wrong. They will pick on it and blow it out of proportion. They will twist the truth in an effort to present Muslims in the worst way possible. And so a Muslim needs to be aware of this. He needs to study the reality of the situation and put things in perspective. Just like what Allah did through these ayat in Surah Al-Baqarah. And so, if we Muslims are accused of being terrorists because of what only a handful of some Muslims may do, and because of some non-Muslims who may happen to die in the process. And so they put the blame on Islam and they say, look at how Muslims are terrorists and how Islam promotes violence. Then this is where we need to step in. And we need to remind the people of the actions of the West. We need to remind them of the millions that were killed at the hands of Western countries. Look at the thousands, the hundreds of thousands that the US has killed in Iraq, in Afghanistan. Look at how many hundreds of thousands of massacres have taken place at the hands of Israel for the last 70 years. Look at how Muslims have been killed in the hundreds of thousands in Kashmir, in Chechnya, in China, and the list can go on and on. And so we need to bring these facts up so that it is clear that even if the Muslims do something that may be unjustified, it can never reach the level of the violence and the evil that has been taking place at the hands of the kuffar against us Muslims. And so things need to be put into perspective. We should not be gullible, we should not be naive, believing whatever the media tells us. The media is not on the side of the truth. The enemies of Allah are not on our side. A Muslim needs to beware and should not just accept what we hear. Look at what Quraysh did in their time. 13, 14 years of oppression, of subjugation, of persecution. And look what the enemies of Islam are doing today. And then when a Muslim does something, look at how Quraysh took advantage of it and started to spread this propaganda. And look at how the same thing is happening today. And so we need to put things into perspective, and we need to show the double standards of the enemies of Islam. Finally, the last lesson that we can learn from these expeditions that were sent out by the Prophet ﷺ is the care and the concern that Muslims should have for one another. When these ayat were revealed, from Surah Al-Baqarah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he took the caravan and he took the two prisoners. Quraysh came to take their prisoners back. They wanted to ransom. They wanted to free them. But it so happened that two men from the expedition, from the Sariya of Abdullah ibn Jahsh, they did not come back. What happened was that their camels got lost, so they went to look for their camels and they ended up not coming back. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Quraysh, he said to them that he will only give back these two prisoners once my men come back. And so he was worried, he was afraid that they will be taken as prisoners or that Quraysh will kill them. And so what does it show us? It shows us the care that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for his followers. And this is how we Muslims should be. We should never give up one another. We should always have our brothers and our sisters, we should have their back. And so after the two men returned, they ended up coming back to Medina. And it was then that the Prophet ﷺ released the prisoners in exchange for money. Now, the two prisoners, one of them, Al-Hakam ibn Kaysan, he ended up becoming Muslim. And so he ended up staying. And he later on ended up dying as a shaheed. The other prisoner, Uthman ibn Abdullah ibn al-Mughira, he ended up returning to Mecca and he died as a disbeliever. And so these are some of the lessons that we learn from the Saraya, the expeditions that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent out, all preceding the great battle of Badr. And so inshallah ta'ala next week, we will move on to that great battle, the Battle of Badr, one of the most important part, one of the most important events in the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a turning point in the demographics or the geopolitics of Arabia. So until then, سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وصل اللهم وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.